midday bus. A handshake, and that was it. A handshake. He watched her climb the three ridged metal steps, walk to the middle of the bus, and choose a seat from where she could watch the sea for the first 20 minutes of the ride. Right-hand side, away from him. He could see ahead, nothing more. Cream with a blue stripe, the bus. More a coach given the high seats, but called bus by the locals. He nodded to the driver, who raised the first finger of his left hand from the wheel by way of an answer. The door hissed, moved, stuck for a second, and closed. The gears clunked, the note of the engine deepened, and the bus left the curb to speed down the hill that took you to the pier. Did Laura turn her head to look at him? Maybe, probably not. They'd been lucky with the day, George and Laura. The height of these cliffs exposed you to the full force of wind and rain when the weather inclined that way. The bus shelter offered protection from the worst of it, but you had to put up with graffiti that, in the main, only an anthropologist would relish. Learning that size mattered to some people, mattered a good deal. The dimensions of tits and dicks. Quantity too. You would have guessed that MG still lived with mum and dad, judging by the number of conquests he or she claimed to have made on or about the wooden bench. Exceptionally, Terry displayed both wit and grammatical competence. He applied his mighty pen to Harold Wilson's cabinet exclusively and with venom. But he knew that government was a singular noun, and that the collective term for both wankers and tossers was bunch. George and Laura had said their goodbyes as they walked the mile to the bus stop. Each knew the conversation would be the last between them. She might send him a postcard to say that she had arrived somewhere, but no letter, nor would she ring. And him? He could not imagine that he would have anything to tell her, not from his own life, not from the goings-on of the town and its hinterland. She had seen it. She had enjoyed it as she found it, but had not become affiliated. Much of Laura's time with George, they had been solitary. He had pottered about house and garden and retreated to his den to write his memoirs, never to be published, sometimes skipping meals for a whole day. She had explored the coast, 30 miles each way, in all weathers, getting her old life out of her system. Into perspective, is how she put it. The city, work, lovers, lectureships, research. They were close when they pored over books on wildlife. Insects especially, with their intense cycles of life. Bizarre, unthought of as you swat them away or squash them. Dragonflies and damselflies appeal to Laura, the few moments of brilliance through which most people know them, seeming paltry compared to the patient larval wait to emerge. She, Laura decided, would not leave until the dragonflies appeared. George had advertised a room to let with the run of the house. Someone working in the town, he assumed, happy to be quiet in the house in the evenings and on weekends if they had nowhere else to go. No one phoned, and even Laura did not get round to knocking. She stood beyond the gate, rucksack, woolly hat, hair blowing in an October gale. She had balked at the size of the place and how run down it seemed. But George, turning his compost, paused, leant on his fork, and smiled at her. I don't suppose, she said, disarmed. The room? George looked at her get-up and assumed she wanted it for a couple of nights. No, she was making a change, she said. A month, certainly. Did he mind if she left it open beyond that? 30 years later, Laura spoke publicly about George for the first time on a chat show sofa next to a footballer and a celebrity lawyer. The three had been asked about a person who had influenced them, not formally, not a coach or a teacher, just someone. She found that she could not describe him. Without a photograph to remind her, his features had blurred. His demeanour, though, was clear. His calmness, earnestness, and humour. Invisible man, said the host, getting the laugh he wanted. No. The host challenged her. How should we picture him then, Laura? Telling me a story, not fiction, but some bit of the world that I knew nothing of. He could be like a little boy. Okay, a girl could do this, but we think of boys doing it. Taking out a matchbox and showing you a spider or a beetle. Weird creatures. Don't know why, but the one I remember is the mud dauber wasp that seals its eggs, each in a little cell, with live jumping spiders, sedated so that they would be fresh food for the larva. Gross, said the host, and the audience on cue pretended to retch. Then the host ambushed Laura. Did he fall in love with you, Laura, this George? He wouldn't be the first. When you left, would he have missed you? Cried? Drunk too much? What? George? What an idea. No, not George.